The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. The Gospel of the Lord. The world is feeling like a bit of a hot mess at the moment, isn't it? And amidst the news just from this week about wildfires raging across millions of acres in Canada, and about four little kids on a playground in France being stabbed by a lunatic with a knife, and a former president of this country being indicted for retaining classified documents, and the latest atrocities in Russia's war against Ukraine, and the fatal collapse of an apartment building in Iowa, amidst all that, and there was much more. You might have missed the news of the catastrophic train wreck in India. Almost 300 people were killed when three trains collided. Another 1,200 or so people were injured, some quite seriously. Pictures from the wreck are rather dramatic. Train cars piled on top of one another, other cars mangled and twisted with pieces sheared off like a giant can opener had been at work. Biswajit Malik, a 24-year-old man, was on one of those trains. When his father, Halaram, learned of the wreck, he and another family member hired a local ambulance and made the hours-long trip to the scene. Halaram was convinced his son was still alive. He went from hospital to hospital to hospital searching for him, but there was no Biswajit anywhere. Halaram kept the faith nonetheless. "We never gave up," he told a newspaper reporter, even when people told him the last place left to look for his son was the temporary morgue set up at the local high school. They found Biswajit there at the temporary morgue among the dead, except he was not dead. He was unconscious, unresponsive, but alive. Biswajit was loaded into the ambulance and taken to a hospital. He's already had a few surgeries and is expected to have a few more, but his prognosis is good. You just gotta have faith, right? You just gotta have faith. Biswajit's dad certainly did. He just knew how his son's story was going to turn out. And of course, people encourage that kind of hopefulness and positivity in each other all the time. I'm not sure I'm going to end up getting that promotion at work. Oh, you just got to have faith. I don't think I passed my chemistry exam. You'll be fine. You just got to have faith. Once again, my team isn't going to make the playoffs. Don't worry, they'll turn the season around. You just gotta have faith. Having faith certainly leads to great outcomes in our gospel this morning. A lot goes on in those verses I read a few moments ago, too much for one sermon, so I'm gonna skip over the call of Matthew, the tax collector, and Jesus' discussion with the Pharisees and head right to the two healing stories we heard. The first story introduced involves the death of a child. We aren't told exactly what happened. Did the little girl get an infection from a cut or have appendicitis? There were no antibiotics back then, of course, and abdominal surgery wasn't a thing. Was it cancer? A head injury from a run-in with a cart in the street? Type 1 diabetes in the age before synthetic insulin? No matter the cause, the little girl's father is desperate in his grief. So desperate that he, a leader of the synagogue, comes begging for help from Jesus. Leaders of synagogues did not do such things. Leaders of synagogues acted respectably, followed the rules, refrained from embarrassing themselves or their communities of faith. They definitely did not kneel before unsanctioned preachers in a room full of tax collectors and sinners. And they definitely didn't acknowledge the unsanctioned preacher's power to save, to raise someone from the dead. That's exactly what this leader of the synagogue does. My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live, he implores Jesus in faith. The second story in our gospel also involves someone who does something she shouldn't in faith. She's a woman who has been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. Her constant bleeding would have made her constantly unclean, cut off from family, friends, the whole community, isolated, marginalized. She interrupts Jesus' journey to the house of the dead little girl, sneaking up behind him as he is making his way, convinced that Jesus' power to heal is so strong, she doesn't even need to talk to him. All she needs to do is make contact with the clothes Jesus is wearing. If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well. She turns out to be right. We don't know if Jesus felt a tug on his clothing or sensed the presence of the woman following him as he walked along, but Jesus sees her and acknowledges her faith, and she is made well. The woman's healing doesn't keep Jesus from finishing his journey to the home where the little girl lies dead. Enough time has passed since the child took her last breath that the community has started its mourning rituals. The musicians are playing and the crowd is making a commotion. The people gathered around laugh when Jesus tells them to go away. They don't have the faith that the little girl's father has. But in moments, with only a touch of Jesus' hand, the little girl is raised from the dead. You just gotta have faith. As different as the leader of the synagogue and the hemorrhaging woman are, man, woman, respected public figure, unclean, invisible person at the bottom of the social order, bold and upfront, sneaky, literally going behind Jesus' back, as different as the two are, there's something they share, isn't there? They both believe that Jesus can make a difference, that Jesus is the difference between despair and hope, between brokenness and healing, between death and life. We have to be careful as we tell these stories about Jesus' earthly ministry, about when he touched people or they touched him and his healing flowed. We have to be careful that we don't end up with that punchline, you just gotta have faith. Because we children of God, we brothers and sisters of Jesus know sometimes our prayers for healing aren't answered the way we want them to be. I bet a whole lot of you have been praying for peace in Ukraine, and yet it hasn't come. Praying for a more civil political discourse in our country, and yet it hasn't come. Maybe you've prayed for the progression of your spouse's dementia to slow down, or for your grandchild to stop abusing alcohol, or for your neighbor's latest test to show that his cancer is in remission. And yet, that's not what happens. Hear this. Please hear this. It's not because you didn't have faith, or the right faith, or enough faith. It's because the world we live in is still broken, and we are still mortal. And the victory Jesus won for us in the cross and in the empty tomb is not yet fulfilled. We pray to keep us connected to the good news that though sin and death, brokenness and mortality, disease and tragic accident stalk us, cause suffering for us and the people we love, they don't have the last word. God does. That's the good news that belongs to everybody. Everybody. To men and to women. To the visible and to the invisible. To the powerful and the powerless. The rich and the poor. The insider and the outsider. The bold and the meek. And it's the good news that belongs to you.